Hey, welcome to the podcast. I'm glad you're here for this. If you're watching on YouTube, you can go ahead and like this video, subscribe to our YouTube channel. We got podcasts coming out every Wednesday morning at 8 a.m. And let's get on into it.
Yeah. So welcome to part two of our conversation about how to help people when they're stuck in a faith loop crisis.
Yeah.
I mean, it happens. It happens sometimes for Christians who are moving along, walking in the faith, and all of a sudden something happens and it's as though they just hit a shipwreck. They just crash and it just feels like they're stuck, where they've got these series of thoughts running through their mind that make them wonder, wait a minute, have I committed the unpardonable sin? Wait a minute, have I lost my salvation? What's happening here? So we've addressed two of those questions already in the first podcast. We're going to pick up with the third today. The first two were, have I committed the unpardonable sin, and will God spew me out of his mouth? So we're going to pick up with our third one today. But I think it's important to keep some things in mind before we go too far with some of that.
Yeah.
And as we mentioned in our last podcast, it's important to understand where these questions come from in a person. I think it's important to stop and ask questions in the process to figure out what's going on here.
Yeah.
Without that, you're just tossing info and facts at a person without knowing really where their heart is.
Exactly.
And all of that.
Yeah, because our goal is not to just answer a mental question and just answer from information, but to speak to someone's soul, speak to someone's spirit, speak to the core of who they are. And so in doing that, you have to ask deeper questions. You have to go beyond just the question that's asked up front, but to continue the questions by probing further, by saying, like, what led to this? What what made you start thinking this question? What made you start feeling this way? How long has this been a question for you in your life? And has there been something recently that caused this question to come up? In doing that, you just change the whole tone of the whole conversation that that puts it on a level playing field. It brings the walls down, and it makes someone receptive to an answer more than just like a fearful, erratic-like state.
Yeah, because truth is meant to go to the root of who we are, to our spirit, the deepest parts of who we are. And if you can't help them make that connection, then it won't happen. So this is part of our role in helping them. For the sake of our conversation today, it's important, I think, that we understand we're talking about people who are already Christians, who are asking these questions. We're talking about people who have chosen to walk away from their old life, and they're now following Jesus. They professed him as Lord, but they began to have these questions in their mind. And we're looking at it from the perspective of, well, how do I help them? I'm a friend to them, or they're a family member of mine, and they're asking me all these questions. What do I do?
Yeah.
So we've gone to our question number three today that someone might be asking, and it's this question. Has God turned against me?
Yeah.
And that happens sometimes in people's minds. They start interpreting the events of their life, kind of from their own self-assessment. You know, they're looking at things that have happened, and they've come to a conclusion about that. And they might conclude things like, you know, my car broke down, I had a fight with my spouse, and things didn't go well on my job today. God must be against me.
Yeah,
I mean, I get where you make that that connection.
Yeah. Yep.
But they might say things like, I'm having health issues. I'm having some emotional issues. Therefore, God must be against me.
Which goes to show in their life, they were told along the way, you know, that God, if things are going right, God loves you. If things are going wrong, you've messed up, you know. And so that's, you got to start asking those questions so they can realize, this is actually what I believe. Mm-hmm. So you can speak truth into that. Because obviously, someone who's walking in this, they're living continually on edge, continually in defeat, continually measuring, am I doing enough? And you can tell there's not consistent truth reminders to themselves of who God is, but you're literally just determining truth, what you would say truth,
right,
by how you are feeling, or literally just the circumstances of your life. That is that is the ultimate thing that determines what reality is in this person's life.
Yeah. And it's sad because the more you start asking those questions, the more it starts to form a framework in your mind. And pretty soon you're looking at all of life this way.
Yes.
And you start drawing conclusions then. You're no longer asking, you're beginning to make assumptions and draw facts when in your mind, at least. They're not real facts, but you've started building the framework. Therefore, God must be against me.
Yeah.
And boy, once that starts happening, then the loop just gets deeper and bigger, because now comes difficult emotions, fear, anxiety, worry, doubt, angst, tension.
Yeah.
And then pretty soon come some health issues, emotional health, physical health issues. Everything's beginning to break down because of a question that hasn't been answered in the deepest part of our soul.
Yes.
So it's important always, if you're the one wanting to help someone, that our goal is to direct them back to Jesus. That's the goal here. Not in a preachy, here's just a bunch of Bible facts, but in a way that helps them understand the reality of who Jesus is in the midst of where they are struggling and having their questions. Yeah. So we come across verses like Deuteronomy 31:5. This is important at a time like this. Be strong of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Man, that's such an important truth to help someone be ingrained in and with. This is a great opportunity for you as the one who's helping to help them find root in that.
Yeah,
they're obviously attempting to assess God's presence in their life by their circumstances or their feelings. And this is where we say, you know, we don't live by our own assessment of life. We don't live by our own feelings. We live by faith. In fact, we trust what God says even more than what we see sometimes. The Bible tells us that we walk by faith and not by sight. So I don't form conclusions based on circumstances happening around me. I form conclusions based on what God says. Mm-hmm. And Hebrews tells us that faith, this is the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance about what we do not see. So I hold to truth that tells me He will never leave me nor forsake me, even though my emotions might scream that at me.
Yeah.
Even though circumstances might seem to indicate that, I choose to believe what God says about it rather than what I feel about it.
Yeah, definitely. And I just, the thing that sticks out to me from that and in relationships with other people, is there's way more power, or I should say, there's way less power in just telling someone a truth like that. But there's more power in engaging someone with that truth. Like, hey, I get you're feeling this way. What about this verse, though?
Yes.
And asking the question to put it in their court to where they then would explain, well, what this verse is fill in the blank, you know? And then you can ask, how does this verse compare with how you're determining life?
Yes.
You know, more than being like, hey, well, you know, that's actually not true, because you're just like punching up against a brick wall.
Yes.
Rather than asking the question lowers the wall and you're able to relationally connect with someone.
Yeah, letting them answer the question.
That's where it's at.
I found that in counseling, in teaching, even in preaching, that the best communication happens when I don't just one-way dump information, but present and then allow whoever I'm talking to answer the question.
So good.
And when I do that in Bible studies or groups or conversations, it's always way more productive and powerful when they are engaged and answer the question.
Yes.
So when you deal with this subject of, has God turned against me, there is something you have to discuss. And it is this idea that what may actually be happening is that the person may be experiencing some of God's corrective in their life. Because sometimes correction will feel like distance. And so if someone is saying, I feel like God is against me, well, you reassure them of truth. But then it's necessary to ask some questions like, are you walking in obedience right now to God?
Yeah.
And then maybe you track through some places of life. Are you walking in obedience right now in seeking the Lord, in seek first the kingdom of God? And as you track through some of that, you might find out that actually what's happening is there's a place in their life where they're walking in just direct disobedience to God. Yeah. And what they're experiencing is distance that's not God against them, but God for them to try to draw Him or the person back to himself.
Yeah, and again, you might be going, that is way too personal of a question to ask. But
it's real.
It's real, and it's where people actually are, because if they are not ever encountered with, hey, pal, here's kind of where you're at, actually. Yeah. Or is this where you're at? And if they can be like, no, I'm literally not. I am actually walking in obedience.
Yeah.
Then, all right.
Then move on. Then let's walk by faith and not by sight.
And let's just reassure ourselves with truth. And let's be, we go faith over feelings, faith over feelings, you know?
Yep.
But asking, again, versus telling is way different in getting someone in renewing their mind.
Yeah. Even David in the Psalms wrote about a time in Psalm 32 when he was walk in disobedience. And he even describes what it's like. He's very vivid in his description. He says, when I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. So those, he goes on. There's so much more there. But the point was, he said, I wasn't confessing my sin. I was in disobedience. And it felt like God was against me, but he was really pulling me closer to himself. He said, I was the one who was resisting.
Yeah.
He says, when I end up confessing my sin and my transgressions, he forgave me and I was drawn back to his side. Yeah. So that has to be part of the discussion with the ultimate truth of, if God is for us, who can be against us? Yes. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Yes. Nothing.
And exactly. And again, I will continue to say, verbal truth affirmations is what will be the game changer in that way.
It's true. All right, number four, a question that that people may ask from time to time that gets them stuck in a loop is, have I sinned too much? Now, again, just the wording of the question is an interesting question, and it's telling.
Yes.
You know, because the assumption is, if you're asking, have I sinned too much, that there must be like this stockpile over there that's building up. And there can be a place where all of a sudden, if you drop one too many on it, then the whole thing falls apart, and then you lose your salvation. So again, just asking the question, hey, tell me where that comes from. What made you think that? And who told you that?
Yeah.
And why are you thinking that? It's very telling, and it can help you understand where they are and what you need to say next.
Yeah. And the thing that just jumps off the page to me with that question, have I sinned too much? You can hear it either in the negative sense of like, oh man, this person is just so terrible and all this, or the other side of it, this is, wow, this person genuinely has a desire to live the right way.
Yeah.
They want to.
Yeah.
Know justification and by God. They want to know, I'm clean, I'm clear, God is not against me, he's for me, and he doesn't see my old sins. So that's where we get to jump in with that truth.
Yeah.
But again, you got to lay the foundation by asking questions first, like that of, why do you believe this? You know?
No demon, nor the devil, nor any ungodly rebel is ever asking the question, have I sinned too much?
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
It's just not how it works.
Yes, yeah.
The only person who would ask with any sense of sensitivity, have I sinned too much, would have to be a child of God who has the Spirit of God living within them.
Yeah.
So that should be encouraging.
Yes.
The fact that you're asking the question means no.
Yeah.
But again, I think now you have to deal with this idea of like, okay, well, is there a stockpile? Is there a sense of which they're being stacked up somewhere and it could be too many? Well, you've got to go back to passages like 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Yeah.
They are not being stocked up.
Yeah.
They're not being stacked up. They're not being held against you. They're not off in a corner somewhere. There's not a ledger sheet with all your sins on it. No, those were removed when you came to faith in Jesus Christ.
So good.
So the question is faulty to begin with and telling, and something that they need to be helped with.
Yeah.
They need to understand what happened to them when they came to Christ. Now, I'm sure they probably heard verses that are frightening. Mm-hmm. You know, there are some. If you come across verses like 1 John 3:8, he who sins is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning, and for this purpose the Son of God was manifest, they might destroy the works of the devil. Like, wow.
Yeah.
Or 1 John 3:6, whoever abides in him does not sin.
Yeah. And they're going, I sin, therefore I must not abide in him.
Whoever sins has neither seen him or known him. okay, well, we're all cooked then, because yeah, this exactly. is not working out. Well, again, you understand context here. This talking about habitual pattern sin with no reference for remorse or repentance whatsoever.
Yeah.
Well, that's not what's happening here. Again,
yeah.
The fact that you're asking the question means you have a sensitivity to it. Mm-hmm. So it's a great opportunity for this one that you care for to help them understand that, look, your sins are not stacked up against you. They've been removed from you as far as the East is from the West. And then I love the honesty, of course, of Scripture and John, in 1 John as well, in chapter 2, there's a verse that helps us in so many ways. One of the ways it helps us is it does not deny the fact that you're going to sin as a Christian. Here's what it says. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Yes, the push is to not sin. The reality is you're going to sin.
Yeah.
And the reality is you have an advocate with the Father. You have someone on your side, on your behalf. They're both for you. They're not against you. The fact that he's an advocate tells you he's for you. And so have you sinned too much? If you're asking the question, I'm going to say no. But the very fact that you're asking the question reveals that you have the heart to want to do what's right.
So good.
It's good.
So good.
All right.
Yeah, this last one's the most fun one.
Yes. So number five on our list is probably the one that people ask the most, and it is this. Have I lost my salvation? It usually comes with the question of, you know, did I commit one sin too many? Yeah. Did I say a wrong thing, do a wrong thing?
Yeah.
You know, too many boxes checked, and now I've lost it.
I'm done. Yeah, exactly.
This usually comes from fear, obviously.
Yeah.
It can come from emotional turmoil in a person's life. It often comes from bad teaching, misunderstood or misguided teaching. There are whole denominational groups that believe this, however, that you can not just backslide, but you can actually lose your salvation and you need to be saved again. Mm-hmm. And I think, wow, what a tumultuous life that would be to not know exactly if you have. Then you have to assume you probably have, but then you got to keep doing enough to try to get it back. And you never get to move on beyond infancy, basically, as a Christian. You're always focused on, am I saved? And if that's all you ever are, then you can never move on to the maturing parts of Christian life. So if the person's asking this question, again, it's good. It's important to ask. What makes you think you could lose your salvation? Where did you hear that?
Did you find that from the Bible?
Yeah. Where did that come from?
And
how long have you felt this way? And maybe even this question, you know, what happens to your heart the longer you think that?
Yeah. The longer you've walked down that path of, oh no, I've messed up a little bit too much. Yeah, what does that relationship with God look like year after year after year after year?
And their own answer to that will help them see the reality of its futility. Yeah. So it's important, again, at this point to understand that this is, we've ventured over into enemy territory now because he loves this kind of place. He loves doubt. He loves uncertainty because he goes to town on this.
Yeah.
In fact, the book of Revelation would say that the accuser of our brethren is the one who accuses us before God day and night. This is part of what the enemy's tactic is to be an accuser, to point out and to keep us from ever moving forward in the faith, to keep accusing us of our sin, keep bringing it back up, keep accusing us that we're faulty and flawed and could never be loved, could never be redeemed, could never be used by God. That's the enemy's tactic. So you got to make sure that your thoughts and beliefs are not aligning with his in this, because if you do, you know what's happening. You don't have security, you don't have confidence, and you don't have peace.
Yeah.
Those are what are meant to be ours in Jesus Christ. Yeah. So for this person you're trying to help, man, this is one verse that's a great go-to. Once you've understood more about how they got to this place, what it's producing in their life, you can walk over to Revelation 12:11, where it says, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Man, this is how you defeat that. You come to the place where you know, I have put my faith in Jesus Christ. The blood of the Lamb has saved me. And I believe in that blood, and this is my testimony.
Yeah.
And I hold to that.
So good.
Now, for me, at a time in my life where I needed to find this kind of security, I'd heard someone say, you should write that verse down, and you should put a date. And I did. I remember the very spot I kept it in my room, because I'd be plagued with those dots.
Yeah.
Doubts, not dots, those doubts. And I had that in my room, and I would look at it so often until it finally became just ingrained, and I became confident. I am saved.
So good.
I'm not going to let my feelings that I'm not saved or the latest sin I committed make me think I was not saved.
Yeah.
I had my trust in the blood of the Lamb, my testimony, and that I wanted to live for Him.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I found security in that, and it helped me to be able to move on from that.
Yeah, and that's something I would say, again, just to keep on hammering this point, is that these questions, this is spiritual warfare here.
Yeah.
This is not just some light, casual kind of questions, or maybe, oh, wow, this person's Googled a little bit too much. No, this is legitimate spiritual warfare from the accuser of the brethren. So this is not the time to just like, oh, hey, I'll just send a bunch of podcasts and verses your way. But this is like, commit to praying for this person and pray aloud with them and for them and in front of them, and like be intentional about displaying your care for them, right?
Yep.
Because they are in the place of feeling like everything's riding on me. It's all up to me to secure all of my life. But they need to know there are other people in their corner, as well as God is there on their behalf, like Jesus interceding for them, right?
Yes. And to remind them of truths, you know, Jesus said, I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand.
Mm-hmm.
Your salvation is not so thin that someone can snatch it away from Jesus.
Yeah,
your salvation is not so fragile that you're going to break it.
Yeah.
Your salvation is not so rooted in your sin records that it's going to be taken away. No, your salvation is anchored in Jesus Christ and what He did for you.
Exactly. Yeah.
So that's a great opportunity to encourage someone and help them move on. I love what Hebrews 6 says. Look, we should be leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ. Let's go on to maturity. Let's not keep laying again the same foundation of repentance, of from our past and of faith. So let's move past Am I saved? Let's move on to, I am secure in Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to walk in maturity and have fruit developed in my life. Now, that's where you want to help people get to. So I hope this has helped you today. It's our desire to help people get to that place of maturity, confidence, and certainty in Jesus Christ, and put an end to all of those doubts, those plaguing doubts, and those attacks from the enemy. He doesn't want you to be mature. He doesn't want you to be confident. Doesn't want you to be secure. That is everything that Jesus wants for you. So thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time on the podcast.